Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to Trends in Technology. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa Campbell is your producer and call screener extraordinaire. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show where we explore what's going on in the trucking industry. It's a mix of new products, new services, and new technology. We'll also bring you expert guests from all areas of the industry, such as Bruce Mellinson on diesel engines and performance, and Mike Beckett on tires and alignment, as well as many others. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in with your question or comment. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to Trends in Technology. And here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyways. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Of Trends and Technology. We've got a great show lined up. I'm going to bring on Bruce Mellon from Pittsburgh Power here in just a minute. So if you want to line up your calls for myself, we'll do our best to get everybody on the air. Show is filling up already. I want to thank everybody who's joined us. And if you've been on the other two shows this week, I want to thank you for that. Tremendous response. In fact, we filled up this phone system. This system will handle 50 calls, and both nights we went well over that. So picked up a second phone system. If you're listening to me now, you don't need it. But if for some reason you can't, if you get dropped and you can't get back in, the second phone number was in the email that I sent out. Let's see. We're going to get right to time. Let's bring on Bruce Mellinson. Bruce, are you with me?
I am, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Great to have you here. What's up tonight?
Oh, lots of things. The business has been very exciting lately. A lot of interesting new things going on. You know, we're working on the delete of the EGR systems from the Detroit, still working on the two trucks with the DDEC 4 EGRs, and we have a truck coming in on Monday that an owner-operator is graciously giving us for the whole winter. It's a DDEC 5 EGR, and so we won't be rushed on this one, and we're going to figure out how to delete it.
That's exciting. I can't wait to hear some results on that.
Well, me too. And we bought an engine dyno. Sid Compton came on board 3 weeks ago, and he brought his engine dyno with him. So as soon as we get that installed, whenever we build the signature engines, we'll be able to put them on the dyno, and the new owner will have a printout of his horsepower.
Fantastic. Hey, I got to meet Sid when we were building the signature engine. He was the guy that actually put one together. But why don't you quickly give everybody else a background on what Sid does? The things that he has done. He's done some pretty amazing things.
Sid Compton is the same age as me. We're both 60 years old. I've met him 27 years ago. We were building a truck to do circle track truck racing, and so was he. We were building a 903 Cummins. He was building an L10. He then moved on and was hired by Cummins Diesel Engines to build the Wild Thing 1 and Wild Thing 2, which were international trucks with N14 selects at 1,250 horsepower, and he still has those two trucks, and he still has all the codes and everything that he put into the engines. So, gosh, now we can build some N14 selects at 1,250 horsepower. Not saying that that would work on the highway. He built these trucks to race Pikes Peak. He also built the roll cage. He had a differential failure coming around the bend. The rear end locked up. He spun it off the road and fell 600 feet. And it was a good thing that his roll cage saved his life. I said, nothing like building your own roll cage to save your own life.
That's like packing your parachute.
That's right. And he also built the CFI, the Red Racer truck, the T2000, that had two Signature 600s in line, so it was an inline 12. And then he wasn't happy with the power he got out of it as an electronic engine, so he converted those engines to mechanical.
Wow.
And he's also done some offshore boat racing with diesel engines, and there's just so many things. Doc Snyder from Snyder Farms out in Ohio has a Peterbilt called Mr. Nasty. It's a pulling truck. Sid built the engine 9 years ago at 2,400 horsepower out of a KTA, and that engine is still running. I mean, the guy's phenomenal with engines.
Yeah.
I have a lot to learn now.
Well, it's great to have him in your shop now. I'm excited about getting back there. Bruce?
Yes, your phone breaks up a little bit with me here, so.
Oh, okay.
If I may not hear everything you say.
I'll have to figure out what that is. New technology here. We're the switchboard is a best. You know, we just started this call series this week. And the first night just about blew out the phone system. You couldn't get any more calls just in case. So the other great thing, and within 30 to 45 minutes after we finish tonight, people can subscribe to this on iTunes, and it will automatically download to their phone, and they can listen to it whenever they want. So we're pretty excited about the whole.
Hey, Kevin.
This is a little different for me because Lisa lurks, and she just jumps in whenever she wants to. I got to get
and
you.
I am certainly lurking right now.
What's up?
I just wanted to let you know that there's an additional good thing to this system, and that is that I can talk whenever I want.
Ah.
That is the best thing for this system.
Hey.
That's just like being in real life.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I'm just fine. And you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Well, that's good. We miss not having you up north.
Well, Kevin and I certainly miss having you around.
And we're in a beautiful blizzard right now. We have about 6 inches of new snow, and they're calling for up to 14.
That's a wonderful thing.
It is. I just wish we could move the snow to Colorado. You know, we do have our owner-operator snowmobile conference coming up on the Friday night, the 26th, Saturday and Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and Monday, the 1st, at Grand Lake, Colorado.
Wow. How can I get more information about that?
You could call the Gateway Inn at Grand Lake. I don't have their phone number here, but it's a 31-bedroom log cabin inn, and we've rented the entire 31 bedrooms. So we need to get some owner-operators there to fill it.
Wow.
Hey, can I jump in here?
Sure.
He gets a little testy, Bruce. If I talk too much, he gets a little testy.
When you scream, can you ask? I mean, I seem to be the only one breaking up, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. You just broke up. I didn't hear anything that you said.
Oh, boy, that's not. You guys are going to have to run the show.
Yeah, I can hear Lisa perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You know what? I'm going to click off and see if that helps. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think.
I'll be back.
Yeah, Kevin, we started building the engine for the Peterbilt glider kit tonight, too.
Wow. That's the truck we're going to have in the show.
This will be the truck for the truck show. And it's going to go from our place to ICT and get a double bunk put on it, and then it'll be back at the show.
Yeah. If everything goes right, we're going to have three signature trucks this time. We're going to have three, because it's not going to be the full specs that we designed as the signature truck, but each one of the three trucks will have some components of the signature truck and have some
This, I don't know if you can hear me, Kevin, but we're about completely losing you. This truck will have the 264 gear ratios. It will not be a single axle with a pusher tag or a pusher lift axle because he is at 80,000 all the time and where he is up in British Columbia.
Oh, okay. I guess everybody's having a hard time hearing me. I'm breaking up a lot.
Yes, you are.
Calls, Bruce, that it's you and the caller, and I'll try to figure out what's going wrong on my end.
Okay.
All right, let's start off with, we're going to go to Mike. Mike, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were right. You were cutting out.
Yeah, I know. You're on with Bruce. Go ahead.
Hey, Bruce, I've read almost all your articles, and I understand where you're coming out on the higher horsepower. My question is, what would you do if you were building an engine for maximum torque versus maximum horsepower? In other words, what trade-offs would you make if you had a choice between this is going to give me more torque, or if I do it a different way, it gives me horsepower? Because I've always been taught to drive the torque curve, not the horsepower curve.
Right. Well, as we increase horsepower, we increase torque. In America, we've been taught to think of horsepower, and I guess in semi-trucks, we should talk more torque. But as we improve the power, like every time we bring on the power about 25 horsepower, we gain 50 to 75 foot-pounds of torque. So with horsepower comes torque. I haven't figured out how to increase the torque without the horsepower without making the stroke longer. So we do both.
Okay, so basically it's the way that the engine is designed from the start, because the longer the stroke, the more torque you're going to have in a given displacement.
That's correct. That's why the Caterpillar always seems to make a little bit more torque than the other two engines or three engines, because of a longer stroke.
Okay, well, thanks for that answer.
You're quite welcome.
All right, I appreciate it. I still have time breaking up. But I'm going to bring another. Let's see. Where are we going? Eldon, it's your turn. Welcome to the.
Well, hello, Kevin and Bruce.
Hi, Eldon. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. We got a little dab of that snow, but we sent the rest of it your way.
I see. Well, we kind of needed it here, but we need it more out west in the Rockies.
Well, I was at a meeting a few nights ago, and there was a guy presenting something that was alcohol injection into a diesel engine, and I wondered if you'd ever heard of something like that.
Years ago, we were working on water injection, and I visited with a lot of the World War II pilots that flew with water injection. And they came to the conclusion that the reason that the water injection made power was because of the amount of alcohol that was in it. And I think the mixture was 60-40, 60% alcohol. So water injection alone doesn't seem to give us power, but when you mix alcohol with it, it does. And it's probably somewhat of a trade-off, just like propane. So I have not tried alcohol injection.
Well, this is exactly what they were doing, and they weren't the reason for it was to reduce the emissions instead of making the power, but it did increase the power and do some other things, but their main reason for doing it was to put on an older engine and reduce the emissions. So it was straight alcohol, you know, ethanol, 200 proof, which is straight, mixed with 40% water, so same thing you're talking about. The system was similar to like a gasoline injection system is what I would call it, where it fogged this stuff into the intake. And I don't know, I listened to the deal and looked at the truck, and I was pretty interested in seeing what it was going to do.
Well, what does it cost? Where do you get the alcohol? I don't know. I think I'd rather do hydrogen than that.
Well, of course, within 100 miles of me, there's two huge ethanol plants. The way, you know, there's no really no distribution of that stuff right now in the pure form, but you can get it from places that sell petroleum products. You know, you can get it with road tax and everything. But at this time, the guys that are using it, they have to mix their 40% water in, and, you know, it's limited where they can get it. But the reason I thought it was interesting is because of the deal with people wondering about going into California and having to, you know, upgrade their trucks and so on. I thought this might be a lot easier to swallow than buying a different truck. And you might have some other benefits, you know, like more power or maybe a little more efficiency.
The California deal, our plans are to be able to retrofit a DPF on and build the computer with our Pittsburgh Power engineers to control it and to control the firing of it and the burn, and everything would be able to be overrun by the owner-operator. So I'm not too worried about getting older trucks into California in 2014 or 16, whenever it may be.
Well, like I said, I have seen diesels converted to burn alcohol and some other sort of things like that that I didn't think were really feasible. But this was something that, you know, I thought may be another alternative to the DPF or some other things. So I'm just kind of interested in it, and I want to kind of watch it. And it's actually some guys that are right in the same town I'm in that are working on this. So,
well, keep us informed and let us know how it progresses.
Yeah, I sure will. It looks to me like it could be installed on other stuff besides trucks, like ag equipment, like even maybe on a reefer, a pickup truck, that kind of thing. So it may be kind of, you know, if they can get it approved and everything, it may be something that is able to work on some other things and take care of some of those problems. So, but anyway, I just kind of, it was something new, and I kind of want to keep an eye on it.
Hey.
Good talking to you. Hey, Bruce, can you hear me better now?
I can.
Okay. I think we might have it all figured out. All right. So thanks for holding down the fort there while I got everything figured out. Let's get to another call. Let's try Hugh. Welcome to the program.
Oh, gosh, Kevin. I didn't know I was getting on the program. I was just telling Lisa about your volume levels and everything there. I wish I had something to ask Bruce about. There is one thing. If you take an older engine with, say, 800,000 miles on it, a Detroit 60 Series, DDEC 4, pre-EGR, and you start beefing it up with maybe a reprogrammed ECM and maybe even the Pittsburgh Power Box and the ported and polished exhaust manifolds and the anyway, you're all of a sudden putting more power to that older engine that may or may not have a slightly bent crankshaft or whatever. Do we run a risk of just blowing that engine up?
Well, actually, you're at more of a risk leaving it stock. Whenever you turn an engine up and give it some fuel and let it breathe, it's like, man, it says, thank you for finally letting me run. It runs so much easier, it runs longer, and we never, ever see a failure from taking an old engine and giving it some power.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know.
Even back in the days of the shiny 290s and 335s and 350s with aluminum pistons and 4 1/4 Bs, when we would give them power towards the end of their life, that seemed like it gave them extra life.
Hmm. All right, then. Thanks a lot, Bruce. That's all I got.
You're quite welcome.
Good talking. Good talking to you, Hugh. Let's see. I think I got this taken care of. Let's go to... We're going to go to Gene this time. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bruce. How you doing this evening?
Just good. Great. Thank you.
I got a question for Bruce. Bruce, I got a C05 C15 Acer. A
yes.
BXS model.
Mm-hmm. Did you say BXS?
Yeah, the BXS model.
Okay, so you have the 04 engine and an 05. You have a very early 05 truck then.
Right. Correct. August of 04, so yeah, early 05 truck. It's Kevin, you'd be impressed with this too, because I've done the things you've done. I've got it straight piped underneath. I've got the exhaust wrap. I've slowed down to 60 miles an hour. I have a vortex valve in the intake. I've got the best mileage I've got out of this engine was 8.05 back at September 19th. I did 2,456 miles on 305 gallons of fuel. So I was really impressed. The truck runs good. But my question is, I just got a EcoPure filtration unit.
Okay.
And I know on the right side of the engine they have those oil galleries where the oil pressure will come out. But I can't get to them on this BXS engine because of all that stuff that's across the side of the block. Where would you suggest me getting my oil supply from for my filtration gear?
Ooh, that would be a better question for me when I'm at the shop, because right now we have an Acert in there, and I think we have it right now. In other words, because of the twin turbos, you say you can't get to the oil rifle.
Right, absolutely, man. I mean, it's just everything. Then you got the condenser there, and it's just like the whole side of the block is. I mean, unless I strip down the whole side of the block to get to it, it's the only way to get to it. And I mean, like that's like a little overkill to try to do. So I was wondering if there was a better place for me to pull the oil from.
There might be a place on the driver's side that we could pull the oil from, but I'd have to look. So why don't you call? Give me a call on Monday at the office, and I'll be able to tell you.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
But I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. It's good information.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'll check with OPS as well on that. They might have some ideas as far as where we should go with that one. Let's go to Rick next. Rick, welcome to the program.
Good evening there, Kevin and Bruce. First off, Bruce, I love your muffler. Picked up 7 tenths with it.
Holy cow, on what engine?
Mercedes. I got that white midriff that came in your shop a couple months, probably back in June, July. I came in... When we used to do a Chili Man's old call, I came in. I don't know if you might remember me, but. Kevin,
yeah, go ahead.
I identically spec trucks. Let's say international 9400 versus a 9800 flat floor cab over, same specs. Which one would get better fuel mileage?
The non-cab over, you know, the one thing about the internationals that changes a lot is in the same model, they can be set up wildly different as far as...
I'm talking like, yeah, let's say you got the same spec, same transmission. I'm thinking about doing redoing a cab over like Bruce's engine, or like 13-speed, 308 rear ends. I like to be out here, I like to roll. I like doing 65, 70 miles an hour everywhere I go.
Well, here's the thing. What I was referring to was even if the specs are the same, when you give me a model number of an international, like if you tell me you've got a T600, I pretty much know what it's like aerodynamically. But international takes the same model, and a lot of times they'll put the stacks in front of the sleeper. Sometimes they'll put the stacks behind.
Sometimes they have aerodynamic bumpers. They don't have aerodynamic bumpers, air cleaners, visors. Even in the same model, they can be aerodynamically very different. So I'll give you a ballpark. If you took the fully aerodynamic International, make it as aerodynamic as we can, and compare it to the cab over, there's about a 3 to 4 tenths difference, the aerodynamic truck being a little better. It's the opposite if you take that same model and make it as unaerodynamic as they make it, with air cleaner stacks, non-aerodynamic mirrors, and International will do it either way in the same model truck. And then you go the other way. The cab over will be 3 or 4 tenths better than the non-aerodynamic setup of a conventional.
Yeah, okay. I'm kind of thinking about I've always been a cab over fan, and I'd love to have one myself. And Rip's engine in there, 500 horse, 13 speed. I'd have to stretch out the frame a little bit to put a tri-pack on it. And total just
now, if you,
one-off custom truck.
Yeah, if you look at Europe, where that's all they run is cab overs, then and you see they get really good fuel mileage out of their cab overs as well. It's pretty interesting. So if the cab over is set up properly, then you can get good fuel mileage out of them. And they're actually better than a classic would be. Let's see. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Craig this time. Craig, welcome to the program.
Hi. Trying to find out what makes the Pittsburgh Power mufflers better than, say, going and buying a $70 muffler, a flow-through muffler, and sticking it on my truck. Why is it going to make more horsepower for my truck? Or not horsepower, why would I get better fuel mileage than, say, just a regular flow-through muffler?
Bruce? Oh, you know what? Hold on. I think I got rid of Bruce, and I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
Bruce, sorry about that. Bruce, are you back? Oh, no, that's not Bruce either. Hold on.
I'm here.
Yeah, now you're here. Go ahead.
I'm here.
I was trying to find out about your mufflers then.
But I heard everything you said. Back in 97 when I was building my T600, I bought very economical mufflers, and they just had that little cone on the top. And I took a long steel bar, and I put it through there, and I rolled it and rolled it, and I opened that cone. And I thought, good, I just made a straight-through muffler. But what I did was didn't realize inside there's open chambers. And when you have an open chamber, it creates turbulence or an air eddy, and it just chokes the muffler. Even though you can look straight through it, it's still on the design on the inside. And whenever we came up with this muffler we currently use, and by the way, we did this back in the 80s, and I kind of got away from it. And you have to study what is going to happen to the exhaust from the time it enters until the time it exits. And where do you get rid of the noise, and where do you keep the flow going? And that's why this muffler works so well that we're using.
So I won't pick up any more noise if I use yours, because I have an 05T379 with an Acer engine.
Oh, no, you got two turbos. You're going to be too quiet. How old are you? Are you under 45?
Oh, shoot, no. I'm 53.
If you're 53, that means you're getting old like me. You want more quiet. These two mufflers will be nice and quiet on the Acer.
So will I pick up a half a mile per gallon?
I usually tell people you gain a quarter. Did you hear there was a fellow on there just gained 7/10? We put one on a Mac and made it a weed burner and gained 7/10. But normally we see a quarter. On yours you could see a half, because if you have stock mufflers right now, they are catalytic converters and they're very restrictive.
Yeah, what would I expect to pay for two mufflers installed on this piece?
Well, it's the mufflers are $158 each, and it takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to install them now. Our guys are getting really fast at it.
It's, So, yeah, I've been slowing down. I've been listening to Bruce. I've slowed down to 65. I've gained nearly a full mile per gallon with this truck. I was averaging 5.2. Now I'm averaging 6.2.
Good. Also, think about that ported manifold. That really helps the A-certs, and so does the FAST system.
Yeah, you know, I just had an exhaust manifold gasket leaking. If I would have known about your exhaust manifold gasket, your exhaust manifold would have been over there and just bought one.
Yeah, it does make quite a difference on the A-cert.
All right, well, I guess I'll have to call and get over there and get some put on. Thanks for talking.
Come on and see us.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Hey, Kevin?
All right. Yes.
Hey, Kevin?
Yep, go ahead.
That Mac that we did that weed burner on that went from 6.2 to 6.7?
Yes.
We finalized the Pittsburgh Power computer for the E7 Mac today on that truck.
Wow. Excellent.
So we don't know what the top horsepower is. We have to get it on the dyno, but the owner of it's very happy, and it's working nice and smooth, and that's all I can say. I can't tell you how much torque and how much horsepower, but I think it's somewhere in the 160 range.
I'll bet it is. You know, there were a couple threads going on the website about how people thought it was ridiculous to take the stacks off of a classic and build a custom exhaust, you know, with less restriction. Why would you go through all that trouble? This was their thought on the site. Why would you go through all that trouble and ruin the looks of a classic to only pick up a half mile per gallon?
Yeah.
Only pick up a half mile per gallon. And, you know, what we're finding is some of these trucks, when they're done, every classic running around has stacks. So that's just the norm. Now it seems like when you take the stacks off of a classic, you create a whole new look, and it's different. And you know, we're gonna have some trucks at the show, I think, that'll really show that off. It was like the Coronado, the signature truck. When we took them off there, everybody loved that truck without them.
Right, and the Peterbilt, the 389 that we had in the shop for the several days this week from Winnipeg, we took the 8-inch stacks off it. So I have a great deal on 2 8-inch stacks that are like new for Pete. If anybody's interested, anyway, we made side pipes for this truck, and we're hoping to see a half mile or more per gallon. And the way this truck is customized and the way he lowered it, it almost has more of a street rod look to it now than it does as a classic.
Yeah, I bet it does. Hey, have we figured out yet on, say, something like a W9 where we pull the stacks off, redo the exhaust system as, say, a weed burner? I know you've done some that you can. What's the weight savings? Do we know?
No, on this Pete, I'll bet we knocked off at least 200 pounds.
That's
probably more than that. These stacks were heavy. They have a stack in a stack. And we actually used a crane to pick them off the truck.
Yeah, that's you know, it might not be for everybody. People like the stacks, but, you know, when you think about the improvements, you're taking them out of the airstream, which improves aerodynamics. The way you guys are building the custom exhaust with the muffler, we're decreasing the bends, the back pressure, all of that, and we're lowering weight. Sounds like a really good setup to me.
And we have to keep in mind, this truck was owned by Brett Jewett, and it is a ISX EGR DPF. This happens to be a DPF truck. At zero DPF and EGR related problems. I mean, this is phenomenal.
Wow.
This, but so we may not gain what we want other than in aerodynamics by eliminating the 8-inch stacks, because we're still going through the DPF.
Well, that'll almost be interesting to see, because it'll be like we're isolating just the change in aerodynamics.
Right.
All right. Let's see. I've got I thought I had another call. Well, I got plenty of calls. I just have to sort them out here.
Do you need some help?
I don't know. I might need some help.
I can certainly assist you with that.
Why don't you recommend a call for me? Call it out by number. Who should
all
I go
right
to next?
Well, look to the bottom of your screen. I have number one. Michael has a problem with his ISX Cummins engine. Seems
well,
to
now
be
I hear, got it. Now I know what everybody was talking about with me breaking up because now you're doing it. So
okay.
In order to fix it tonight, we switched computers for now, and I'll get that fixed because I think I know what it is.
Okay.
All right, so thank you for your assistance, and we are going to Michael next. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good.
Good. What's up?
Okay, I got a 06 ISX Cummins. I replaced EGR cooler. I've checked the turbo. I have checked the air-to-air. This thing literally blackens every trailer I pull. I've unplugged the EGR, and I'm running with it unplugged, and it's still blackening trailers. Where's my next step here?
Where do you live?
California.
California. Do you get into Denver, Colorado?
No, I basically just run up and down I-5.
Oh, my. I have no suggestions. So. I don't know. What's Cummins telling you?
You know, I've gone in there, and all I keep getting from my Cummins shop is the computer says everything's fine.
Yep.
My EGR is working. My cooler is working. Now, when I do have it plugged in, my EGR runs a lot hotter. My EGR cooler will throw codes at me, and they just tell me it's fine, because whatever in the computer, and I don't understand this whole part, it's reading a high temperature, but then it goes away, you know, almost immediately. So it's more of a sensor issue. And like I said, I'll hook up to a trailer. I pull box trailers now, and literally within 3 days, the front of that trailer is blackened with soap. And I'm a little confused here where to go next.
Yes.
Don't you just love it when we've got an absolute problem and you take it to a shop and the shop says, the computer says nothing's wrong?
Yeah, that's the easiest way out is it's within spec. We hear that all the time.
Yeah, that's what my pocketbook's been hearing too.
Call me on Monday. I'm going to give you the name and phone number of a guy in Denver at Cummins that I want you to talk to.
Okay, great. I will do that.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, also, if I order parts to you, you can ship them out here to me?
Oh, absolutely. About 99% of our parts go out in UPS and FedEx.
Okay, because I am planning on my next thing is I want to put the muffler on the truck, so... That's my next thing I'm trying to update here. All righty,
yep.
Guys. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you on Monday, sir.
All right.
Hey Kevin.
Bruce,
I want to say something. I've got two engines and two transmissions in Denver, Colorado that I need brought to Pittsburgh, and I'm more than happy to pay somebody whatever the freight rate is and or trade them parts or whatever they would want. But I need to get these engines and transmissions next week from Western Truck Parts to Pittsburgh Power.
Get me the details on that, and we'll post it up on the website, and we'll send out a blast email.
Okay.
And also, why don't you give out your phone number, because you keep telling people to call you, but they might not know how.
Oh, that's true. 724-360-4080.
All right, and I have a bone to pick with you.
What's that?
I can't believe you're shipping out parts with the bad guys.
With Buster Brown.
You got to put that stuff on FedEx.
I see.
All right, let's see. Lisa, who am I going to next? Lisa, is she not paying attention to us?
I am paying attention.
All
but
right, well,
I'm breaking up too much, aren't I?
No, well, you can still tell me who I should go to next.
All right, have you talked to Mike? I don't know who you've talked to. Number 12.
Number 12. I think I talked
11?
To Mike.
Okay.
Yep, we talked to Mike. How about Darren? What does Darren want to talk about?
I don't know. Well,
let's go check. Darren, welcome to the program. It's your turn.
Hello there, Kevin and Bruce.
Hey there.
I got a question. I got a 03 379 Pete C15 Cat. A 6NZ motor.
315 horsepower?
Oh, no, 550.
Oh, okay. All right, 550.
550. I was doing really good on fuel mileage, say, last summer. I was up in the sixes with it. And all of a sudden, it went into the toilet, and I cannot figure out why.
Did you get into a dealer and was anybody into the ECM?
No.
Do you have stock mufflers on this truck?
I actually had your mufflers on this truck.
Okay.
And it was doing really good. And then after I installed your mufflers is when everything kind of went down the toilet.
So you put the straight two mufflers on and lost?
No, it gained.
Oh, okay.
When I put them on.
Okay.
It was after probably 7-8 months after I put them on, then I started dropping back off again.
Okay, so something else. Something's happened somewhere.
Right, and I've had the air-to-air checked. They always say that's good.
What is your turbo boost under a hard pull?
Oh, I can hit 40 pounds.
Okay, so this is not a stock 550 horse then?
No, it's got a little... got some ejector codes in it, and actually the canister that controlled the wastegate on the turbo fell off, so we just wired the wastegate shut and plugged the tube off.
I'd do that same thing too. Okay, so we're making 40 pound of boost. We're up 10 pounds. Let me fire up the calculator here, tell you about where we are on horsepower.
I mean, not quite 40. It might be 38, 39, but it's close to 40 on a hard pull.
All right, hold on a second here. So we're at about 675 horsepower.
Wow.
Actually, it comes out to 696. I want to be a little more conservative, so... We're at about 675 to 690 when you're up at 38 pounds. Now, what happened? What's changed? Tires, trailer, has anything changed in the meantime?
Absolutely. Actually, I did put new tires on it, but my fuel mileage decreased before I changed tires.
Fuel mileage decreased. And where do you live?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Do you ever get over by us?
Nope. I try not to go east of the Wisconsin border.
Do you get through Colorado?
Nope. I pretty much run Kansas City and back to Minnesota.
Wow. Kansas City to Minnesota.
You know, it's pretty well flat land.
Yeah.
I mean, you get some rolling hills down Missouri and whatnot.
You didn't start driving.
I was there.
You didn't start driving faster, did you?
It don't matter. I can run 65, 60, and I'm still in the five.
Stop right
low
there.
Five.
Stop right there.
Yep.
If you were to run this truck for two solid weeks at 60 miles an hour, what would the fuel mileage be? Not in the fives. Would it, you know, we need a 2 week average running at 60. When we start saying we run at 60 or 65 and we're somewhere in the fives, that could be absolutely true. But at 60, if you were getting 5.2, then at 65, I would expect that you get 5.7, which is a big difference. You're still in the fives. That's a big difference
right,
in fuel mileage, and it would tell us, it would give us some indication. If you can increase speed and not lose fuel mileage or not lose it at the rate we expect to lose it, which is about 1/10 of a mile per gallon for every 1 mile an hour, you go faster. If we don't lose it, I'd almost always look for charge air cooler or intake leaks.
Okay. But would I be building that kind of manifold pressure if I'd have a intake leak or a charge air cooler leak?
Yeah, see, that was my thoughts, too. He's making great turbo boost. And, you know, you're the second person I've talked to this week. The other fellow's a milk hauler with a 6NZ, and the same thing happened to his truck. It was almost overnight where he dropped like a mile and a half per gallon.
Well, one of the things that's been happening this winter, and this happens every winter, and this is why a really good fuel mileage log can tell us a lot, because we could lose a full mile per gallon plus just because of conditions, temperature, road conditions, wind conditions, the winter blend fuels. We do see a lot of that in the wintertime. So if you're keeping a good log and you know that the weather conditions didn't change that much, then we know to look someplace else. But I've been getting a lot of calls with drops like that. And then when we go back and look, a lot of it has to do with the winter driving conditions.
What about, have you had the overhead set lately?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And that all checked out good, and a real good guy that, I mean, he knows his stuff, he did it, you know, and I trust his work.
Sure.
So that is, I usually set that about every 100,000, 120,000, I try and get the overhead run.
Well, that's good. That's a good interval to get
now,
that.
Is there a thing that they claim on some of these C15s that the exhaust manifolds actually start deteriorating? Because I do run, I mean, now in the winter months it ain't so bad, but, you know, because my fuel mileage started decreasing, I started noticing that I would start building a lot more temperature in my exhaust side real quick.
You know, just the other day I was talking to a guy at Caterpillar, and his feeling was, as the manifold starts to deteriorate, so does the center plenum of the turbine housing, and he feels that is responsible for some horsepower loss, even though there's no external leak. And I was a little surprised to hear that, but you might want to pull the turbo off and look at the divider that divides the first three cylinders from the back three cylinders on the manifold and on the turbocharger, and see if that's eaten away. I'll tell you something else to do. Pull the compressor housing off the turbo and wash the wheel, wash the compressor wheel, wash the backing plate, and wash the compressor housing out, and polish that up a little bit and see if that doesn't help. But for the amount that you lost, it should be something very...
I lost this actually already late last summer, so the winter driving conditions had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well,
if you can get to Colorado, call me.
Okay. Or do you think that there could be something restricted in there with the manifold turbo or something like that, but that's where the fuel mileage is going?
Yeah, could be. How about... Sioux City, Iowa. Do you get near there?
Oh, yeah. I get through there actually every Sunday.
Okay. Why don't you give Harlan a call at Peterbilt. He's a very knowledgeable guy and very owner-operator friendly.
Okay.
Okay. Now have him check it out.
That.
Tell him, please don't put any low NOx settings in the ECM. And I don't think he would do that to you.
All right, we're going to move along. We're running short on time. I want to get to a couple more calls before we have to get out of here. Let's go to Victor this time. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin and Bruce. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. Well, hopefully I don't lose you here. A couple of quick questions. I've got a 387 07 P with an 06 engine, and I've got the twin stacks on the back, and I want to convert it to a rice burner. My question is, do you run a flex pipe or try to, you know, just straight through pipe?
I try to stay with as much pipe as possible. At times, you need a little flex pipe in areas just to take up vibration, but try not to run long stretches of flex pipe.
Okay, I thought that would be the case. And have you done any figures? And being that I've got twin stacks, I want to just do a single muffler. And I was going to order your muffler. Have you gotten any results from that?
Well, let me say this. Several years ago, some guys came in and bought one stack or one muffler for C16 600 cats that had good numbers in them. And they said, we're going to put this down alongside the transmission. And I thought, oh, it's not enough. Well, the results that they came back with were phenomenal. And so I was a little bit shocked. And here's one of the rules of exhaust. As exhaust cools down, it slows down, and it's harder for the engine to push it out. So maybe with the muffler being closer to the engine, the muffler staying hotter and allowing more to pass through. That's the only thing we can come up with.
Okay, so that's what
the muffler as close as you can up along the side of the transmission on that truck, up underneath, and then run your pipe straight on.
Okay. Now, on the 387, and I've noticed on a couple other trucks, I don't know if it's just due to the, with the cat engine, it looks like it's got a tree muffler, a big canister, and I've asked the shop, what is that?
It's a catalytic converter.
That's the actual catalytic converter. Okay.
Yeah, get that off there.
Okay. That's what I was planning on doing. Now, the next question real quick, your shop, does it have a dyno?
We do not have a chassis dyno. We have just purchased an engine dyno. We don't have it hooked up yet.
Okay. Is there some place near there that does that you do business with? Or?
Yeah, Fida Freightliner in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, south of Pittsburgh on I-79.
Okay. All righty. Well, those are my questions. I appreciate
What problem are you looking for that you need a dyno?
Well, I've got 385,000 miles now. Anywhere between 50 and 175,000 miles. I was averaging 8 miles a gallon consistently, and I've gotten as good as 9 miles a gallon. And now I'm losing power. They say all my injectors are good. I get down around 1,200 RPMs on a slight pull. Put the engine under stress, starts to vibrate. Feels like it's missing. I don't know what else to to do.
Ooh,
they're saying put on a dyno.
What engine is it?
It's a C15 Acer 06 NXS model.
I'd get rid of that catalytic converter first and see if the problem goes away.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
Have you ever had the, I think on the 06, there was a fuel filter base problem that they had on some of them. And it was, I don't think it was a full recall, but there was a run of serial numbers that the fuel filter base was causing a fuel restriction, and they were changing out the base at no cost.
That I don't know.
You might want to check. I think if you take it into any cat dealer, they can run the serial number to see if it's one of the engines affected by that.
Okay, I'll do that, but I'll put that muffler on order this coming Monday. And usually how long does that take? A couple of 3 days? I live in Florida.
Takes 3 to 4 days to get to Florida.
3 to 4 days? Okay. Well, I'll get that done, but those are my questions. I appreciate it.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's get to a couple more before we get out of here. Let's try Anthony. Welcome to the program. It's your turn.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How y'all guys doing? I have a question for actually one of each. Bruce, with the do y'all do any reprogramming of ECMs up there in Pittsburgh?
Well, we don't do it right at our shop, but what kind of engine do you have?
Well, I got a Detroit 12-7, 60, 500 horsepower.
I have an engineer that whenever we were road racing back in 2003 Detroits on the IMSA racetracks that I work with, and I can send them to him, and we make the changes there. What are you trying to do?
Well, I had last year, it was 4,3500. I had it turned straight five.
Mm-hmm.
But they were unable to change the torque setting.
You're
and
kidding.
I wanted the torque setting changed.
Okay, what you need to do is give us a call, speak to Fernando. Fernando at my shop handles this. We'll send you out a loaner, ECM. You put that on, you send us yours, we'll get it taken care of. It'll come back at 585 horse and 2400 RPM, and your torque will be weighed up in there too. Probably be about 1850 to 2000.
Wow, okay. And what would something like that run me?
$1,250.
$1,250, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with the extra horsepower, would that do anything to the manifolds or?
No. No, not really. Eventually, if this is a DDEC 4, you should put the 15% larger turbo on. And if you're doing that, put the ported jet hot coated manifold on because that's fuel mileage. And it also drops your exhaust temperature by 125 degrees.
I've seen that. That's a project in the makings. I got to work my way up to now, to that particular point. I also want to get a Pittsburgh power box as well.
Okay, well, if you want to do the box, let's do the box first, and then you'll get all the torque in the world. Forget about doing the ECM, because if the ECM's on and working good, just put the power box on. It's a lot easier. And it's adjustable.
Okay.
The negative part about doing ECMs are is if they end up responsive, really responsive, and you're on black ice or in sand and gravel or off-road, you can't control it. With the power box, you can shut it off, you can turn it down, you can turn it up. It's fully adjustable, and you control it. But once the ECM is done, you can't.
Okay.
The only time we like to do an ECM is if the truck is a total dog, then we do the ECM to get the bad stuff out of it. Because putting a firebox on, if you have a garbage in signal, you get a garbage out. And it's hard to take garbage and make it good, but when you have a good signal, you can make it great. So you're better off to do the firebox than doing the ECM if the ECM is good.
All right, Bruce, I hate to say it, but we're just about out of time. It just flew by tonight. Why don't you give out your phone number again so everybody can get a hold of you? And you know, sometimes you got to go easy on these guys. You give somebody that manifold, the turbo, the flow-through mufflers, a power box. I don't know. I don't know if everybody can handle that stuff all at once.
Well, you got to be a man. You got to be able to control the right foot and have a turbo boost gauge and be able to read it.
There you go. What's the phone number?
724. Hold on. I've had a tough week with the throat. 724-360-4080.
And I think we're going to run out of time here pretty quick. Thanks for joining me. We're going to do this again real soon.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. I think we are just about out of time. Remember to tune in next week, Wednesday night. We'll be doing this again Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. Audio Road is the name. Wednesday night is free for all. Call in with whatever you've got, questions and answers. Thursday night, politics in trucking. And I'll try to get some issues out by Monday or Tuesday so you have an idea of what we're going to be talking about. As far as that goes, and then Friday night show is trends and technology. That's what we were doing tonight. We'll have, we might get Bruce back next week. We'll have to check the schedule. I think the week after that, we've got Mike Beckett. We'll be talking tires and alignment, and who knows what might happen after that. I do want to thank everybody for joining me. I see we wiped out the phones again tonight, and I'll check the report on that backup number to see how that worked out. Be sure to tune in 30 minutes to Sirius 147 XM 171. We'll do the live show, Trucking, Business, and Beyond. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.
Well, you were asking questions, and I knew I was breaking up. So.
Yeah, that's okay. We did all right. You know what I'm going to do?
Huh?
I'm going to either going to get a good Skype headset,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to get another one of these, and I'm going to bypass the audit my mixer. It must be my mixer doing it.
Okay. Wearing that headset makes it sound great. Your ears.
Yeah.
I felt bad because I wasn't as happy in that.